On this episode of The Playbook, we are going big at Barstool Sports with the co-host of Barstool Breakfast and their new show that drops every Friday, Beats and Eats. That's right, check out Willie Colon and Large, and of course, Dave Meltzer here on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I am so excited because I am at Barstool, the stars of Breakfast with Barstools, and now the Beats and Eats special program. We got Willie and Large right here on The Playbook, and we're going to get into a little different angle because I don't always have the blessing of talking to guys that do what I do some of the time, which is host different shows and build a brand. So I think, though, that guys like you really can give insight to entrepreneurs because truly what you do is build a brand, and you're selling against that brand. And we had talked earlier, Large, about one of my old interns that works here, and you said, man, I like him because he's not afraid to pick up the phone. What do you guys see as a difference? Because you've been involved in the different businesses, stock market, obviously NFL, about today's kids, entrepreneurs, that are afraid to pick up the phone.
I'll go. I think for me, it's all about just realizing that nobody owes you anything, you know. And I think I tell a lot of young kids, especially when I talk to football camps or whatever, that, you know, dreams cost. It's easy to dream, but, you know, dad has to take you to practice. Dad has to put, you know, gas in the car to take you to practice. And, you know, you have to put cleats on feet. Well, that costs something too. So the best you can do, especially from a young man or a young kid, is anytime you have an opportunity or somebody is investing in your dream, is to give it all you got. Be unapologetic, and also have the mindset that, you know, you're going to take bumps along the way, but be humble about it. And never think anybody owes you anything, and that whatever your dreams are is your dreams, and realize that somebody helped you along the way. And then when you do reach your dream, pay it back.
I'm 47 years old. I'm the oldest guy in Barstool in this office. On the content side, it seems like the average age is 27, I think. So it's a big culture shock for me. I try not to get too much like the old guy yelling out his window for the kids to get off his lawn. Right. But there's just such a, like, the personal aspect of doing business seems to be left up to IMs and emails and Bloombergs and whatnot. But to your point of picking up the phone, or we used to call it asking for an order. Like, there's the idea of asking for an order in Wall Street, like saying, hey, listen, I provided you with a dinner or some stock from a deal or a position, and we had a P&L or some information. Give me something to buy or sell. And asking for an order transfers over to all aspects of business when you need something from somebody else. And I find that that's missing nowadays. Like, kids don't have the moxie to make, like, that tough phone call. I don't know when we got pushed back like that. So then when you do see a kid who has that moxie, and I know you said you you're talking about moxie or balls. You talk about how you interviewed Dave Portnoy at one point.
Yeah.
Like, that's a perfect example of somebody that has, I mean, almost to, not as his detriment, but he has no fucking filter. Am I like cursing?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah. So, like, he's able to do
anything. It's important for us to say
so,
fuck.
So yeah. Sometimes it's
I said it on LinkedIn last night. I was a little afraid. I'm like, is this allowed?
I think so. But sometimes it's tough for me to get the kids, my coworkers, sometimes put the phone down, right? Like, yeah. Put the texting phone down and, like, speak to somebody or ask for this or interact with the hardworking guys on the third floor who are doing sales and pushing the product, you know, because a lot of it is making content, and that's the important part. And there are a ton of people here who are much better than us at that. But going upstairs and getting that product sold and pushed out is that special nuance that makes people stand out from the rest and special. Like the gentleman that we were talking about earlier who interned you for a while.
What's
who you
name?
Took full credit for, by
Gutierrez,
the way.
Gutierrez, exactly.
Yeah,
Mike
Gutierrez.
Oh, Mike. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
I said exactly. He's a good guy. He's like, of course, he interned for
me. He's the guy. He better be good.
Mike. There we go.
I like Mike. Yeah. Now, one of the things that gets lost in the content game is good ideas. And I'll tell you why. So, number one, there's a million good ideas, but there's certain content that vibrates a little bit faster. It has an authentic frequency. And when that word authentic, it just means, to me, original. Like, you're just not lying to yourself. You both are authentic guys because you're going to say what's on your mind. You're not holding back. You're not trying to soften anything or manipulate your audience. You're just telling them what you think. And if it makes sense to them, they like it. And if they don't like it, they'll listen more anyway. Where is that line for you as far as how do we monetize really good content and teach these younger entrepreneurs, okay, this is still a business, and Disney has 470 million views on YouTube for the Mickey Mouse Club because it's a really good show for its audience. You guys are a really good show. Now you've launched out and branded, you know, the Beats and Eats, because the content people listen to, they're like, I'm learning something.
Well, I think with Willie and I, it's one of those things where we can't force anything. We're at a point now where we don't want to force having three podcasts and two of this and two of that just so we have it on our resume. And it's more of a quality, not quantity type thing. So when we first did the radio show for a year together, and we realized that he grew up in the Bronx, I grew up in Brooklyn. I'm 10 years older than Willie, but we have a lot of sensibility, like the same sensibility when it comes to music. I have a background that's different from everyone here. He has a background that's different from everyone here. His is extremely marketable as an NFL player and as somebody who's recognizable to a lot of people, whereas I'm, you know, just another old fat white
just
guy.
Large.
Yeah, so, but also I'm a terror in the kitchen. Like, I can beat up a kitchen like nobody else. So, and that's how Beats and Eats came together. So instead of trying to push through. Yes, exactly.
I mean, honestly.
But even, so we tried to push through that, like having me in the kitchen, Willie out there with a celebrity somewhere along the line that have some connection to music, not necessarily directly, and then come together and eat and have fun and bust balls. And I think that if it wasn't there, we wouldn't necessarily try and do like the Wall Street NFL Hour. Like, right, I'll give you stock tips and he'll give you game, you know, game
review, right? Yeah, right. Monday morning
having
quarterback.
Having 3-point stands on the trading floor.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
And then the production value comes with it as far as what Barstool decides to do, because I'm sure Barstool would like for everything to be filmed off of iPhones. Right,
just easier.
Right, so we have a higher production value on Beats and Eats than has been seen before on the platform, except for the Big Brain, which is another one that launched on the thing. Barstool Outdoors, and then ours is the third.
Well, also the Advisors.
That's the Advisors also has a big time production value. So it's nothing that we force. It's something that we came along with, kind of naturally. And then you put it out there, like, you know, I hope people like it. And that's what's frustrating us. Like, we're proud of everything, but it's like, you know, people are going to throw it back in our faces. But it's gotten good reviews so far. So we'd like to do it for a long time.
Yeah, and I think thinking long, Willie, being a professional football player, we talk about working hard. I think people get that. I talk about working smart.
Yeah.
A little less. But working long is a different thing. And in this game, it's even working longer than when you're 7 years old, want to be an NFL star, and you know the percentages keep on diminishing exponentially. But in the content game, no matter how good you are, it takes time. Because you get good reviews, but you don't get 6 million views on your first post.
Well, I think it's important not to be tone deaf, right? I think me and Lars do a great job of not afraid to go anywhere. We listen. Obviously, he mentioned there's an age difference. But I think our core value is that, you know, we both came from parents who were extremely hard workers. We both come from a system that, you know, we believe in, you know, what you put out there is your art, and this is our art, really. You know, Lars, I've watched him in the kitchen. There's times I called him the other day, because he knows every goddamn supermarket in the East Coast. I was like, hey man, I brought 2 tomahawk steaks. I don't want to mess these things up. They're expensive. He sent me a whole damn thesis on a recipe, right? And it was simple as hell.
I wish I could have got on.
I gotta get your cell number, man. I need it.
I couldn't get there, so I had to give him long, drawn out. Yeah. Because sometimes you don't pay attention to my instructions.
Playbook to success. He wants to talk. Yeah.
Tomahawk success.
But my point is, it came out amazing, by the way, because I did a great job.
Yes, you
I
did.
Actually followed directions.
You did.
But he's on the flip side of that. You know, I know who to go to, and you know, he has a young son who's playing football. He'd be like, Willie, I know shit about snapping a football. If you ever want to work with Mick, help me out. It's a brotherhood, and I think we're there for each other. I think we both have failed multiple times in our life, and we both have succeeded. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people around, especially in Barstool, gravitate towards us, because, you know, it comes down to being honest and being true to who you are. And I think we do that every day, and people love our show, and people are starting to love Beats and Eats, and we hopefully the longevity comes because people need it, not because it's what Barstool wants to hit.
And if not, we'll do something else. Right, like to your point, there's a lot of very good content out there that no one gets to see because it's not on a Barstool platform. It just kind of wallows in the ether. We have the benefit of a pretty good distribution. If it doesn't work, Willie is old school, and I'm just old. But I can't sit apart. I can't sit across for 2 hours from 7 to 9 every day and do radio with somebody and like search for something to talk about because he just happens to be an interesting cat who you can always go back to the well with him. And that's not even the NFL well, the well of growing up in the Bronx, Puerto Rican dad. Like, he's got all this kind of interesting cultural type shit that it writes itself. And then conversely, I have an interesting story too. So I think if they give us the opportunity to stay here, and I don't say that meaning that there's a there's a room we're getting fired. I think we have the opportunity to make, you know, make make some magic on a couple of platforms, perhaps.
Yeah. One of my favorite books as a business person.
Catcher in the Rye.
Close. One of my favorite. Think and Grow Rich.
Okay.
Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. And the reason I like it is it kind of replicates my life, one, but two, kind of what we do. We're talking to people all the time. We're talking to each other. I mean, Warren Moon and I are business partners. It reminds me, I'm just small.
I love Warren Moon, by the way.
But he has a single mom. Right? I had six kids. They had seven kids.
Still active. Yep. I see. You're still slinging. Good for you.
Man, yeah. And right. So we're back and forth. But
Briefs guy.
Got it, man.
I get it.
Yeah. He's on it, Willie. But I want to know from you, like, you guys get guests as well. You're out there, you know, with Beats and Eats too, with, you know, different characters that have really great lessons that get it. I love to know what lesson you've learned to this point that you would share if we're on a show and I'm like, all right, give me that one Napoleon Hill quote that, you know, I've come out to see the two greatest minds that each of you have learned. I'll start with you, Willie.
Sure.
What's that lesson that you've learned that you'd like people to know?
Oh, man. That's tough because I feel like
so many, right?
Yeah, I get hit upside the head all the time. I think doing this episode of Beats and Eats, I really appreciated talking to Curtis Cook, who's going to be episode 3 tomorrow, which drops at 2:00 on the Barstool platform. He was a guy who, you know, actually studied abroad and he did theater abroad, and he talked about how many times he, you know, he didn't know it was for him. There was a hidden talent, but he realized once. He really loved, you know, the art of acting. He found himself being free. And I think that's what we try to do here with me and Lars. We try to just be free with our content. We don't try to put ourselves a pigeonhole or anything. A lot of times we do our show, I'm on a show, and we'll have 10 things on the rundown, and we'll be like, and we'll just go.
Right.
It's about being free. And if sometimes freedom is the ability to be vulnerable, is having the ability to be insightful.
Silly.
And being silly. And then also just understanding, like, hey, love it, like it or whatever, love it or leave it, but this is who we are.
Awesome. How about you, Lars?
Yeah, I mean, so I spent so goddamn long in the business world. I you know, I used to go about the whole never curse on the phone, never send alcohol as a gift, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. You know, early bird gets the worm. But going over and doing this stuff, and all those are great little tenets and all that bullshit, I find now that we're trying to do something where we are interacting with guests specifically, which what you had said, is that the biggest guests are usually the worst. They really are. And it just is by definition, like sometimes you get up there.
You're not
just
saying this because you're not my biggest guest.
No, yeah, no. Exactly. Like
we're not.
We think we're hitting a sweet
you're
spot.
You're going
here.
To be.
Yeah, we're much better than Dave.
I like to get the potential guys.
Right.
But it you know, oh, like if we were considered and we have the talent people who help us out, like Kelly, if we were just considering people on a name type basis to come in there and have us do our little dog and pony show around them, I don't think it would be that much a success. And we're still very raw at this thing, so we're learning as we go along. But I find there
we have to remind ourselves that sometimes
there are just some gems that come in there and have a better story and a more interesting story, just a better way about them, and they have the ability to be silly because it's not going to show up on all these, you know, social media accounts where they kind of let loose with us. So we've come to go from like, who's the top five gets that you want for your podcast? Well, I'd like to have Dan Bilzerian or, you know, like all these kind of weirdo
Obama
type stuff.
Obama, I'm with you.
To sort of having, you know, people on that secondary and tertiary list who wound up doing a fantastic show with us that I can watch again and again and again, as opposed to hearing Obama go on about his bullshit. I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean? So I think that, you know, it's not a settling type deal like that. Sometimes the smallest guests are the best.
It's funny because we talked about starting that I had to start because I don't have Barstool as a platform, right? I had an entrepreneur, not nearly in the same space. I was the first podcast that they really did. So I had to get the Warren Moons. Not that they weren't good interviews, but to be honest, I just wasn't a very good interviewer because I did exactly what you said. I just danced around the big name. And now what happens is I have a big enough platform where it's really cool because I bring people you've never heard of that really inspire you. mm-hmm. and are really interesting. And it's not just the same, oh, yeah, I was a Hall of Famer and, yeah. you know, I grew up poor and here's this. But I also got better at interviewing where I can take a big name and ask questions, like including Portnoy. You know, I asked him about a past life because I was like, dude, do you have good karma? Because literally all he was talking about is being Dave, right? I'm like, yes. you must have been a really good dude in your past yeah. life.
Porn star.
It, right? Exactly.
I doubt it.
And he goes to me, he's like, did you ask everybody that question? I'm like, no, just you, because I'm worried about your karma.
right.
But don't you feel like even somebody who's like considered a superstar now, like Stern, like turned it around after 15 years and then all of a sudden became the best interviewer in the game, perhaps? Like, yeah. it's so
or
the
Letterman.
Fact, imagine if we yeah, all of a sudden said that. Which we wouldn't because we're not into it, but like that we had nothing further to learn or no better to get or something like that.
Yeah,
so I think we go into
Are you talking
it,
about?
No, I mean, oh, just doing anything.
It's
just,
rock for a second.
There's yeah. nothing that we do better. There's nothing that we do at our full potential, I don't think, anywhere in life so far. Right? So yeah. we're always getting better. I'm getting to be a better husband, better, you know, whatever, better father, better interviewer, better right. radio host, better friend, the whole deal. So, So that's
room
what we're
for
doing.
Growth.
Yeah, right, we're trying, yeah. and we're trying to do it together.
Like to that level, one of the things I always say is, you know, life is just lessons. The lessons keep on coming until mm-hmm. we learn them. We get
sometimes more, over a bottle of tequila.
Hopefully,
yeah. Right? Yeah. sometimes.
But you get more vulnerable as you get older, and I think that vulnerability makes you invulnerable. But those lessons do come. What I found in my older age, because I'm older than both of you, mm-hmm. is you know my tendency, my genetic tendency, is to be a bullshitter, a manipulator, overseller, back-end seller, liar. Mm-hmm. That's in my genetics.
Oh, right.
I don't know how many. Like, I know that. And so
I don't even know why. I want to touch that, but I
yeah,
won't.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
You can. But
let Lars do it.
When you guys were talking, because you are honest guys, I'd love to know what you think, being vulnerable, you know, where's that one thing in your being, your character, your intent, whatever it is that you're working on, and you know in the back of your head when you say something, you're like, ooh, that was ego-based consciousness. I'm still doing that. And I know better, but I'm still doing that. Is there something you're comfortable telling me?
Yeah, it happened to me last week. There was a guy by the name of Kirk Minahan, came on the show. He's new to Barstool. He's a hot-button guy out of Boston. And you got to understand, Barstool Breakfast has been through a lot within a year. We've lost two people. We lost Julie Stewart Banks, who was kind of the foundation of the show. She brought me along, and we had a comedian by the name of Francis Ellis. So she parted ways with us. And then recently, Francis, who's a part of the pirate ship, as he's a Swiss Army knife, sing, act, there's nothing he can't do, was let go too. And so Kirk came in here and made some comments about the show. And I didn't know Kirk. And he had made some things about the show. And I kind of, it ruffled my feathers. And you think it shouldn't, because considering I come from a professional background, I've been called every name underneath the sun.
And cut.
Right, but now that, you know, I sit in the host chair and Large is me and Large are there every day. Patty, Jetski, Za, these guys are like my family. And we're the first ones to open the shop. And so anytime somebody throws a rock at us, even if it's a pebble, I have this knee-jerk reaction to go attack or see what's knocking at the door. And I learned here at Barstool, you can't be that way. You know, you can be that way, but just come prepared for it. And I wasn't prepared for it.
It's a thicker skin we need.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And I need a harder shell. But I'm like that with my own family. If my brother called me right now, like, man, I just got in a fight at the train station, I'll jump in the car and go to the train station. That's just my New York roots.
Right.
And how I was raised. One for all from one family is all we have. And so this is how I approach it. And I think for the vulnerability comes from the standpoint where sometimes you got to take the Jay-Z and Beyonce route. Some things you just got to let die. It doesn't matter how many people, just keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, keep pushing. And so, but that's me. That's part of my growth. It just keep pushing. Don't damn the naysayers. Just keep going forward.
Right on. How about you, Large?
I've really done nothing wrong, to be quite honest with you. I haven't been batting a thousand, to be honest.
If I wanted to end the show, I'd end it right there, but yeah. I got to get it.
Yeah, I'd gained a little bit of weight, maybe. I could probably right. do it 10 or 15.
Grass doesn't grow on a busy street.
Yeah, so my situation at home, I have a 15-year-old boy, I have a 12-year-old boy, and I have a 9-year-old girl. And my 15-year-old boy is going into his sophomore year of high school. He plays high school basketball, high school football. I sometimes have to remember, because we do get inappropriate. Like, for the joke, you can tell, like, we yeah. like to joke around and whatnot. I sometimes do get inappropriate, not knowing that, you know, we have an audience out there yeah. where he's listening or his yeah. friends are listening. It's not going to pull me back at all, but some of the times I have to go home and make some excuses, you know, because
yeah. Dad's been drinking again.
We do some stuff for the sake of the show, for the sake of comedy. and it usually hits, and I have no regrets about it. And he happens to be one of those kids that's just very, very centered and very, very
good.
He just has it all. Yeah. But now I need the next one to be like that, and then I need the 9-year-old girl luck. To someday be like that, right? Like, so even though I say I've done nothing wrong since I got to Barstool, I need to hit it. I need to bat 1,000 with the 3 kids too. So that's a scary part for me, and something that I probably need to take a little bit more into account. My wife doesn't care. Safety's off. I can make inappropriate jokes as long as everyone knows that's from a kidding type standpoint. But stakes are higher when, like, high school kids. High school kids love Barstool.
Yeah.
And so his friends love the fact that I'm here. I can go to any game with a T-shirt cannon. I could light that place up, and he'd be a fucking legend. Yeah. Like, you know, because they
and jobs underneath the bleachers.
Yeah, absolutely. So giving out any kind of Barstool gear, it's really doing well for him. But still, you got to rein it back a little bit because I'm still a dad. On top of a host and something like
an
that.
An amazing lover.
Yeah. I think unselfish. That balance. Yeah. The balance is fun for you because I've seen it for years with NFL guys, right? There are people just don't see, like, Warner and I getting off an airplane in Seattle. He's late to pick up his son from a basketball practice. Some guy's like, Mr. Moon, I love you. Can you sign this? And he's like, I'm really sorry. I'm busy. And the guy's like, fucking asshole.
Yes.
Right? Totally. And you have to take that as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I getting paid for? And now, you know, I remember coming home, and for the first time, my kids are like, Dad, you're famous. And I'm thinking, TV show, podcast, like, what had made me famous finally? Lee Steinberg, I was CEO of Samsung at one time. Right. Like, they give a shit. Meanwhile, it was, you have a blue Android. Mark.
You have a blue check mark. Right. Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
And at that time, I was so ignorant, right? I'm like, oh, what does that mean? You're verified, Dad.
Yeah.
And that, to them, was the biggest accomplishment I've ever done, but also gives me some leverage because when the kids act wrong, I'm like, hey, I'm going to post that. I hope your mom follows me. And they're like, what do you have, 12 followers? I'm like, 2 million, mother.
Ooh, yeah,
you
know,
that like, get this.
Drink all you want. Here you go. Here to Instagram Live? Yeah. Let's get it going. Well, anyway, you got to check out these two. Whatever show it is, whether it's Barstool Breakfast, Beats and Eats, I know you guys have it, and it'll evolve to something tremendous. Okay. And if I was a hip-hop superstar, I'd demand to be on that show.
Still time. Still some time.
You know?
Yeah, right. We'll drop some bars after this is done.
Exactly. Quick anyway, 16. What a pledge. You got to check out Willie and Large. This is incredible. Barstool is so much fun. They are authentic, original, and credible. You can learn a lot and have a lot of fun with these guys, I can tell. Join me, Dave Meltzer. I got Willie, Large, and Little D here on The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.